Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
So today I want to preach a message called Thanks for the Memories. If you know the song, give it up. Thanks for the memories. If you have your Bibles, if you could turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. Who's ready for God's word today? Come on, who's ready to be strengthened in the word, encouraged in the word? Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. When you've got it, can I have a good amen? Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. Boom, there we go. It says, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippian church or the church at Philippi. How many of you know that Paul was a baker because he filled a pie? Old school joke. Oh no, it's a terrible joke. There's so many bad ones in the Bible, like cannibalism in the Bible, 2 Kings 8, 1, you know, all of that. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. The Apostle Paul says, watch this, I thank my God. So he is filled, of course, with gratitude, okay? He says, I thank my God every time. Now watch this, he says, I remember you. Verse 4, whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. Now, the church at Philippi is a special and significant church in Bible history because it's the first church or the first time that the gospel actually reached Europe, and the establishment of the church at Philippi is significant in the sense that that's where God had called the Apostle Paul to go and to reach the continent of Europe with the gospel. And we find the story first up in Acts chapter 16, which we know as the Macedonian call. The Macedonian call is essentially where the Apostle Paul is moving forward and with God's purposes, and he starts to lean in towards Asia. And as he leans in towards Asia, the Spirit of God speaks to him and forbids him from going in that direction. And he has a dream one night of a man, a Macedonian man, actually calling out to him saying, come over here to help us. And so we see the Apostle Paul moving towards the continent of Europe and establishing a church in Philippi. The first convert, in Philippi was Lydia, who was a seller of purple goods, and a whole household came to Christ. And later in the story, we see that after Lydia, the Bible speaks about Paul preaching, and it says Paul and Silas, and it speaks about a fortune-telling slave girl who was possessed with the spirit of divination, who would walk around following Paul and Silas and saying, these are men of the Most High God. And that's where we get that scripture that says, and Paul, being greatly annoyed, turned and spoke and cast it out. And so we see then, because of that, out of that comes where, because of the profit-making margins that these men were making with this girl being enslaved, they get all upset. And they throw Paul and Silas into jail for disrupting their community. And the Bible says that they were beaten with rods, they were whipped, and they were placed in chains in an inner prison. In other words, it was maximum security. And that's where we also get the story of where Paul and Silas began to sing hymns at midnight, praises to God. And all of this happened because of this Macedonian call, and they were supernaturally released from the jail. And we see that the jailer, he comes to Christ and his whole household. And so you have this sequence of events, one after the other, these supernatural sequence of events. And we see the Holy Spirit in his incredible wisdom reach 3 classes of people in this church plant. You see an upper class who was Lydia, the seller of purple. You see, if we could class people, you see the slave girl, lower class. You see the middle class, which is, of course, the jailer and his household. And it's a picture of the gospel reaching all people in all communities and people from all different kinds or walks of life. And it's this incredible Holy Spirit growth strategy. And we see this establishment of this beautiful church that's birthed in miracle power and in the supernatural because of the call of God, the Macedonian call. Now, years later, we're talking now 10 years later. Come on, stay with me this morning. We're just building a story. 10 years later, the Apostle Paul, he had not been to Philippi. He's now in jail for preaching the gospel. In fact, he would be in jail for about 2 years now under arrest. And he writes a letter, which we read in our New Testament Bibles today, called the Book of Philippians. So here he is in jail, and he writes a letter to these people that he had not seen for 10 years. He's 1,200 kilometers away from them, and he shares and expresses his heart, his love, his gratitude, and his friendship with these people. So much so that if you actually take the time to look at the emotion in the letter, it's deep. It's not just a casual, I like you, you're awesome, love to catch up for a coffee sometime. This is heart-moving stuff. So let me give you an example in Philippians chapter 1, verse 7. Have a look at this. It says, Paul says, so it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. This word feel in the book of Philippians is used on 23 occasions. So this is a man, a spiritual man of God, who has a reservoir of deep feeling and passion. This is a pastor's heart. This is a shepherd's heart, who has a deep heart of care for the people of God. I want you to notice that in that scripture, he says, so it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you. So he's not just hand selecting a couple of people that were his favorites. He's saying to this whole church, I feel a deep passion and care for all of you. Come on, church, are you getting this morning? Have a look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 8, how the Apostle Paul speaks about these people. He says, God knows how much I love you. He brings God into it, so that they really know I'm telling the truth. He said, God knows how much I love you and long for you. Now, if you wrote a letter to someone and said, I love you and long for you, how many of you know that's heavy stuff right there? But he qualifies it by saying, where are we? Oh, I got distracted for a second because that was a very deep thought right there. Here we go, with the tender compassion of who? Of Christ Jesus. So this was a supernatural love. This was a love that had come from God in his heart for these people. 1,200 kilometers away, he had not seen these people in this church for about 10 years. Yet distance and time had not diminished the yearning that was in his heart for these people and for their care and for the affection that was flowing through him because of Jesus Christ. So here we have a man who is incarcerated. Now, keeping in mind, when we talk about jails in the Bible, we're not talking about a PlayStation in the corner. We're not talking about comfort. We're talking about a man who is in chains. Generally, most prisons in the Bible, and you can go to Rome and see Paul's prison in Rome today, it's basically a rock that's been carved out from the ground. And so we're talking about a jail cell with very little comfort. He's incarcerated. He's facing possible death. Yet this man, he intercedes on behalf of the Philippian church, and he considers it a privilege to pray for them. Isn't it remarkable this morning, church, that here he is incarcerated, facing death, but he's not thinking of himself. He's thinking of the well-being and the welfare of the Philippian church. And so here we have a man who's spiritual. He's filled with compassion for God's people. And he didn't allow today's burden to erase out of his memory yesterday's blessing. Now let's go back to the verse again, Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, and have a look at how incredible his love is for God's people. He says, I thank my God, I'm filled with gratitude. Watch this, every time. Now, not occasionally, he says every time. And if it's written in the Bible, then it must mean every time. He says, every time I remember you, every time I think of you. He says, Paul says, I pray for you. And I wrote, he says, I make requests for all of you. He didn't have favorites. This was a passion and a pastoral care. This was the heart of God that we see in this man, caring for God's people. He says, for all of you. He didn't care for some. He didn't reject others. The Apostle Paul says, every time I remember you, I pray and my requests for all of you with joy. You notice that the phrase, you all, not your, you all, as the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Philippians, is used on 9 different occasions in this short letter. On 9 occasions, the Spirit of God wanted us to see this man's heart, not just for some, not just for the favorites, but for you all. So we're starting to see this morning, church, a picture of God's heart for his people. We're starting to see how a man who is facing imminent death still has on his heart and his mind, it's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning, praying and interceding for the people that he loved so much when he was facing the cross. He didn't leave anybody out, but his whole, watch this now, his whole remembrance of them was good. Now, I have a problem with this because the Apostle Paul says, every time I remember you, I pray, I'm filled with gratitude. And the reason why I have a problem with it is because when you're dealing with people, there's always going to be complications. Who knows what I'm talking about? There is a funny verse. It's one of my funny verses of the Bible in the book of Proverbs, which says, where there is no oxen, the stall is clean. I'll leave that to you. Let him who has ears to hear, hear. And the Apostle Paul says, my whole remembrance of my time with you was good. Now, the issue that we've got this morning, church, is we learned earlier that this was a man who was beaten with rods in his time there. This was a man who was whipped. This was a man who was thrown into jail, and his legs were clamped with iron cuffs. If we actually take the time to think about it and put this in everyday terms, if you went on a holiday somewhere and on your holiday you decided to share Jesus with someone, if you were beaten with rods, if you were whipped, and if you were thrown into jail unlawfully in maximum security, and then eventually you came back to Australia, how many of you know that is a traumatic experience? In fact, we would need to pray for you and encourage you. It's a disturbing experience, but yet we see in the Apostle Paul that when he thinks back to his time with the Philippians, he says, I thank my God, every time I remember you. In fact, I pray for all of you. If you've been in a workplace long enough, you'll notice that over time, there's some really nice people and there's some people that need prayer. Who knows what I'm talking about? If you've been part of a family and cousins and aunties and uncles. Well, you got the good part of the family and you got the other part of the family that really need Jesus this Christmas. Amen. But yet the Apostle Paul, when he thinks back with the heart of God, he chooses to express gratitude. He chooses to reflect and look back and he says, I am filled with gratitude and I thank my God. Now watch this. The Apostle Paul, even though there was a negative experience, still chooses the power of a grateful life. There were challenges, but gratitude has the power to administrate thought and emotion. Gratitude gets our eyes off ourselves and reminds us of who is in control. Gratitude and remembrance can and should be bound together. And this morning, I actually want to speak to your memories. And I want to, like the Apostle Paul, we want to reflect back on the good and the maybe not so good. And we want to declare in Jesus' name that whatever has gone on in the past is under the blood of Jesus, and that we will be able to say, I thank my God every time I remember. Now we see this pattern in the life of the Apostle Paul right throughout his epistles. Now there's one epistle that he didn't do this, so we do need to make a disclaimer, and that was the letter to Galatia, the book of Galatians. Don't ask me why, but that's how it is. And so this is not a stereotype formula that we're about to read, but a natural overflow of someone whose life has been touched by God. If we have a look at Paul's letter to the Romans, look at what he says, Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. He goes on to say, let's look at another book in Corinthians, his letter to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. He says, I thank my God always concerning you. Look at his letter to the church at Ephesus, book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. I have not stopped thanking God for you. Are you starting to see a pattern this morning, church? Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, New King James, as is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. Philemon, verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. So we see a pattern in the life of the Apostle Paul in the expression of gratitude. Now, if you actually take the time to look at some of those locations and some of those churches, there was some good stuff and there was some stuff that needed God's help. There is no doubt about it. Yet the Apostle Paul does not speak a curse over them. He declares gratitude, heart, and love as he reflects on the good things that God has done. Why? Number one, because Paul understood that relationships are built on gratitude. He recognized that the more we express our gratitude, so the saying is, what you appreciate, appreciates. He recognized that God's heart for these people was love. It was gratitude. It was kindness. It was mercy. It was grace. And God's heart for us in this series is that regardless of what has gone on in over the years and the good and the not so good, that we would be a people of gratitude. That we choose to speak blessing. We choose to speak life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not the curse. Therefore, we speak and declare the word of God in a way, the truth in a way that actually brings life to people. I say to our platform staff, and periodically we speak about these things, our church platform is a life-giving platform. We're not here to curse. We're not here to, I hope not, we're not here to pull down people. We are here to express our hearts of gratitude, just like the Apostle Paul. It's so easy to become someone who reflects on things that have gone on over the years, the good seasons, the not so good seasons, and to curse those seasons and to speak to those seasons, but we don't see that in the life of the Apostle Paul. What we see is a man who says, I thank my God. So good, amen? This week, church, we want to express our gratitude in action. We've been building, building, building. And this week is Action Week in Jesus' name. And I want to encourage our church that this Thursday is a very important day in the life of our church. Who's ready for this? Come on, it's very, very important. You got to write this down. You got to get your calendar out, your reminders. This Thursday, hashtag is called in our church, Thoughtful Thursday. Why is it called Thoughtful Thursday? Are we ready now? Come on, who's ready now? Because love is in the air, in Jesus' name. We want to encourage, first and foremost, in our families. Husbands, are you ready? Because this is our responsibility on Thoughtful Thursday. Oh, the wives are like, let's do this, come on. This Thursday, Thoughtful Thursday, could we, husbands in the church, buy our wives the most awesome bunch of flowers known to man? Woo! The ladies shouted, but not the men. Come on, Thoughtful Thursday. Why? Because relationships are built on gratitude. Come on, when was the last time you got a bunch of flowers from your husband? Well, this Thursday you will, because it's Thoughtful Thursday. There are people who've said to me over the last couple of weeks, I think I mentioned it once a couple of weeks ago from the platform, and someone said, Pastor Brad, what about me? I don't have a husband, but I'd really like to get a bunch of flowers. Well, see that lovely person sitting next to you right now? They can help you. And you just give them a nudge, just like, there you go, little nudge. And you say, Thoughtful Thursday in Jesus. So come on, you do that right now. Bang, there you go. Thoughtful Thursday. Jackson's buying flowers all around. Because relationships are built on gratitude. Amen. We don't wait till we feel grateful to act out. The more you act out gratitude, the more you become grateful. The less you do it, well, the less grateful you will be. And we want strong marriages at Horizon Church. We want marriages where the husbands buy their wives flowers on Thoughtful Thursday. Can we give the Lord a clap this morning? Now, who likes roses? Can we have a show of hands this morning? All right, a couple of men put up their hand as well. That's good. That's all good, all good. What other flowers are there, Karen? I just know roses. I go for the ones that just look all colorful and nice and like, sorry? Who? Peonies? Is that what you guys said? Sunflowers? Fallon wants sunflowers, everybody. Come on, Thoughtful Thursday. We want to bless our marriages in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice, secondly, that Paul understood that gratitude can be the heart's memory. It actually can be the heart's memory. Jesus himself taught us this when he said, do this. You heard Pastor Tim quoted around communion this morning. He said, do this in remembrance of me. One of the great gifts of God in our lives is the power of memory, to remember things, to remember significant occasions, special moments in our lives. But how many of you know the longer you journey in life, some of those memories can get clouded with situations and circumstances? But Paul understood that gratitude can supersede all of the negative memories by bringing God into it, and gratitude can become the heart's memory. I want to take you down memory lane just for a moment. Who's ready to go down memory lane? Anyone? Just concentrate for a moment. Are you ready? We're going to throw some things out for you, and I want you to remember. Are you ready? Who remembers your wedding day? Whew, I hope you do. Who remembers their first speeding fine? Hopefully one. Do you know that Pastor Allison has never had her speeding fine ever? Incredible. I've had two. One when I was 17 and one when I was 25, I think, somewhere around there. And that's about it. I think it's the kindness of God. Who remembers their high school best friend? Who remembers their first overseas trip? What about your first car? What about your first kiss? Let's keep going. What about your first school teacher? Your first childhood friend? What about your toughest boss you've ever had? Definitely not at Horizon Church, but... The person who led you to Christ? What about, for some of you, the first time you ever had the opportunity to preach? The first time you were sent to the principal's office. We'll just pause on that one just for a moment. Your earliest memory of Christmas. Church, when we think about these things, our past can conjure up different kinds of emotions, heartening emotions, humorous, hurt, pain, joy. But in it all, the God that we serve this morning has allowed this spirit and this heart of gratitude, as we exercise it this morning, to be able to take all of those memories, and we declare in Jesus' name with our mouth this morning that all of those seasons, as good or as bad as they were, that all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. You know, about 3-4 months ago, I was speaking at a meeting where there was someone that was sitting in the meeting who was a wonderful person. Amen. But this person perhaps had not been very kind to Pastor Allison and I over the years. We're going back a long time ago. And I remember standing up on the platform and just... not wanting to be the, I don't want to be the kind of person that has strained relationships. I just don't believe it's God's heart. And I felt in that moment to focus on the things that were actually good. And as I came up to preach, I acknowledged some people and I acknowledged this person. And out of the goodness of God, because of the love of God flowing through me, I was able to speak to that person from a genuine heart and declare the blessing and the favor and the kindness of God, because we're not waiting until the person is worthy for us to be able to express our gratitude. Imagine if God treated us like that. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 tells us that God demonstrated His love towards us whilst we were still yet sinners. His love reached over a chasm regardless. And so this week, church, as we exercise a spirit of gratitude, can I encourage you to look for situations where maybe, you know, you hit a roundabout along the way in a relationship? Why don't you express gratitude? Why don't you express the blessing of God? Come on, that's the kind of church we are. We speak blessing, we speak life in Jesus' name. And God calls us to this because if you have a look at the verse that we read again this morning, Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul said, I thank my God every time I remember you. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you, here we go, with joy. Why? Because in the end, it sets you free. It sets you free and it liberates you into the purposes of God. And in fact, you will discover that the underlying theme of the whole book of Philippians is all about joy and rejoicing because his circumstance did not dictate to him how he was feeling. He exercised the plan and the purposes and the will of God, and the circumstance did not affect what was going on the inside. And he declared joy in Jesus' name. This week, church, in exercising gratitude, we have created for Horizon Church some thank you cards. Who's ready to send some old school thank you cards? Come on, some old, there's this thing called a stamp. Who's ever heard of a stamp before? Come on, that's how it is these days, right? Why? Because we want to show love. Jesus said, this is how the world will know you are my disciples, by your love one to another. And so these thank you cards, we've got a whole bunch of our team who'll be available as you're walking out. Can I encourage you to think of a season or a person or two or three in your life over the years where you've not spoken to them? Like the Apostle Paul, it was 10 years. He was 1,200 kilometers away, but yet he was still able to express gratitude in Jesus' name. Church, I'll close with this. And you know, at the start of the year, of course, some of you would remember my mum passing away, and I was in Cronulla on a Friday night. My sister calls, actually, it was my sister. And but I was having dinner with someone, so I thought, oh, you know, I'll call back later. And then about 4 minutes later, another family member calls. And so I thought, oh, something's going on. So I thought, okay, better answer, call back. And of course, I was told what was happening with my mom. She had suffered a severe stroke. And the nurse comes on because my brother couldn't speak. And the nurse says, look, this is what's happened with your mom. And she may not make it through the night. And so, you know, that was a rough night, because the challenge is getting from Sydney to Perth is not easy. And by the time the phone call came through, it was about 8:30 p.m., which meant there were no flights. So I remember just kind of going through the night, and I prayed this prayer. And I remember praying this prayer, and you know, it's one of those prayers where it wasn't heavy duty deep, but it was just real. I said, Holy Spirit, we've been best friends for a really long time. Could I ask you for a favor? Could you please keep my mum alive long enough for me to get to Perth so I can say goodbye? Well, next morning, jumped on the plane, went over to Perth, and, you know, seeing, you know, give me a sec, excuse me. Seeing your mum with her head shaved and tubes and her face disfigured was tough, you know, it was really tough. But I remember standing in that room, in that hospital room, and you know what came out of my heart? God, I don't understand, but I'm filled with gratitude. Why am I telling you this story? Those strained relationships, don't leave it too long. Come on, we got one life to put it right. Don't leave it too long. Get those cards. Express your love. Express, they may not receive it. That's a very real possibility. But that's okay, because you've done it unto the Lord. Don't leave it too long. Express your love and express your gratitude. Can I have a good amen? Amen. Karen, we better sing a song. or else I'm going to lose the plot. You know, there may have been people over the years who've hurt you and affected you in negative ways. And of course, I do think this is not me saying we shouldn't be wise in certain circumstances. I totally agree with that. But you know, I think the vast majority of the strained relationships can be fixed in a moment. You know why? Just a bit of humility, a bit of love. It's not who was right. It's not who was wrong. It's just coming with an attitude of gratitude in Jesus' name. So Father, we just thank you today that you love us. Thank you, Lord, for pouring out your grace and your mercy and your kindness. Thank you for showing us love. Thank you that you said in your word that we love you because you first loved us. And so, Father, I pray this morning for our church, and I pray, Father, as we enter into a season of dealing potentially for some with a card or a letter, where there's been a strain in relationship. I pray, Father, you would give us the wisdom, you would give us the courage, you would give us the kindness, and you would give us the grace. And like the Apostle Paul, we would be able to say, I thank my God every time I remember you. We pray and ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, before we go, I need to give an opportunity for people that may be here today who've never opened up their heart to God. You don't know what it means to have a life transforming experience with God. You know, God, we've been talking about gratitude and memory today. God remembers you. He thinks about you. The Bible's very clear about that. So the Bible speaks about the thoughts of God. When you actually take the time to consider what would God think about you, well, the Bible's very clear on how that's interpreted. Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." If you want to know what God thinks about you, all you need to do is look at the life of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus come to do? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. His love is reaching out to you today. His care and his tender compassion is reaching out to you today. And God is asking you, would you open up your heart to him and receive his love? So this is what we're going to do. In a moment, I'm going to ask us to bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to pray a prayer. It's a prayer that invites Jesus Christ to come into our lives, to live in us, to be our Lord, to be our Savior, and to be our friend. Can we just bow our heads and just close our eyes? Why don't you repeat this prayer after me? Everyone in the auditorium is going to pray it as well. Let's say this together. Dear Lord Jesus, I open up my heart to you. Come into my life. Be my Lord, be my friend, and be my Savior. Forgive me of my past. Give me a brand new start. I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. With all of our heads bowed now, eyes closed, I know that there are people that are here today who've prayed that prayer for the first time. Or you've been away from God, but today you're coming home. If that's you today, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. The reason why I want you to lift up your hand is so that I can acknowledge you. I want to pray for you today. Once you put your hand up, you can put it straight back down. Are you ready? On the count of three, here we go. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and you're reconnecting with the love of God potentially, why don't you lift up your hand? Here we go. One, two, three. Lift it up nice and high. I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. Anyone, come on, lift it up nice and high. Today's your day of salvation. Today's your day of victory. If you think that I've missed you, you can put your hand straight back up again. Once you've put it up and I've seen you, you can put it straight back down. Come on, who else is there? Right now, lift it up nice and high. I know the Holy Spirit's speaking to me. There are people that are here today. You need to make this decision today. I'm just going to give you a moment, just a few more seconds, because I do need to move on with the rest of our meeting. Who is there? Lift it up nice and high. I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. Awesome, awesome. So good, so good, so good. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you today for your love. Thank you for every single person, Lord. We ask you that today, Father, that your hand of blessing, protection, and favor would be upon us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, church, I hope that you've enjoyed this series. I hope it's been an encouragement to you. Can we just finish off this morning by singing How Great Thou Art? I can hear you in it already, Jeremy. Who loves Jeremy? Can we just express our gratefulness, our gratitude to our Father in heaven? Come on, why don't we stand up on our feet? Let's sing this beautiful song together.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.